Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Wasn't that wonderful? Give the Lord another hand for that. That's just amazing. What God does. By no means a coincidence, we're talking about giving, the grace of giving. And so we're going to go into the scriptures today and talk about this whole idea that there's God goes beyond what we think that is available to us. We're going to go into 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. We'll read those out loud, and so here we go. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so he arose and he went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in the bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. And I think that's where we're ending at that point. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we're going to talk about this gracious part of giving. And Lord, the grace of giving sometimes goes beyond what our expectations or even what we think is our ability. Lord, today we have so much to learn about ourselves and about how we get ourselves involved in the whole concept of believing that beyond our ability that you're able to do and provide for us. And Lord, I pray that you speak faith into the hearts of individuals that are going through a tough time. But Lord, today we're going to find out that in the midst of it all, you're in control of our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to us today, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor and praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. When we take a close look at the words grace and giving, it seems like they're somewhat interrelated, because grace is one of those type of things that you just kind of give people grace. Ever had one of those things where, you know, the rent's due on the first, but they give you 5 days grace period? And some of you are, you know, at 11:59 trying to run over there, put it in their mailbox. Something about grace is sometimes we get an expectancy. But the definition says that there's something to be had. Giving is a transaction that takes place, and grace is the empowerment of the same. Which means if we struggle to engage in generous giving, we may very well have been deprived of the experience of truly discovering the reality of Jesus that he demonstrated when he was on the cross. Because he's giving, and the expectation is that for our benefit. Here's the three things that we can talk about. Number one, has the entitlement culture affected your perspective as it relates to yielding your rights and benefits regarding priority or special treatment? Because, you know, when we go to certain places, we have an expectation that they're going to treat you a certain way or you're never going back there again, especially if it's a restaurant. You get poor service, or the food's a little bit cold, or it's not quite like you like it. You're never going back there again. The grace part of us, sometimes it's operated only based upon what we feel that we're entitled to. But let's move a little bit further and say this. Here's a question. Are you able to give without regret? What does that mean? I think there's some things that we've given to certain people, and just, I never should have given that to her in the first place. Is she going to treat me like this? Then you didn't give it. You kind of loaned it to her. And you're ready to take it back. I want to teach you one thing today, and probably rehearse it to myself. When you give, you have to let go. Amen. Remember you gave your kids to the Lord? And all of a sudden they started acting crazy? And then, of course, then at some point you say, Lord, them just your kids. These ain't my babies. But let's talk about, we're going to talk about giving. Grace, here we go. What role does fear play in your life as it relates to gracious giving? In other words, fear isn't one of those operative things that happens in our life because we wonder, well, you know, how does this thing work? Well, let's just dive into it. We're going to go to 1 Kings. We're going to pick up the first eight verses, not the first six, but the first eight verses. I want to tell you how this story really works. Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew nor rain in these years except by my word. Right, just hold it there just for a moment. This whole idea of what's going on with his widow is Elijah's fault. And he got the nerve to ask her for a drink of water. Let's go a little bit further and see how delusional he is with this whole thing, okay? Then the word of God came to him and saying, get away from here and turn to eastward and hide by the brook of the Cherith, and which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Move on to the next verses, please. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed there by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened that after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the next verse, number eight, I'll read that. Then the word of the Lord came to him and saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, well by the sea, and see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I want to hold on to that. I want to let you know the provision comes in some very interesting ways. The grace of giving operates under the power of the word of God. The word of God has stopped the rain thing by Elijah saying, there's not going to be any more rain here, and it had been over 3 years since there had been any rain. But the deal is this. Elijah the prophet operated under the authority of the word of God, and I think sometimes we operate under the authority of God not knowing that sometimes the things we speak out, it may be to our detriment later on. So what? You did what God told you to do, but it didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Well, look at it a little bit more carefully. Elijah was empowered to speak with authority. The destiny of the nation of people. Can you imagine that? If I would say, in Portland, there's not going to be any more rain. I know there'd be a victory dance from some of you. But after a while, that's not going to work for you. So let's think about this. And he was also submitted to follow the word of the Lord to sustain his own life. Because remember, some of the things you speak out, that's going to affect you at some point. It's kind of nice to go say, you ain't going to get this. Well, honey, you ain't either. But what about this? That God is going to use an unusual story to teach us about grace. The Lord sustained Elijah in a miraculous way while he's followed his instructions. I remember we had this particular story when I was in Bible in Sunday school when I was a little kid. And the ravens provided for Elijah. They brought him bread. They brought him meat. And stuff. Ain't no raven gonna be bringing me meat. I don't care. I got to have an examination, make sure he's rabies free. I'll tell you what, you better get ready. God's going to bring it any way he wants to. If you're going to eat, you're going to get what God gives you. Amen. I think sometimes we got an idea that we're so entitled that, well, I'll only accept it if it's done this way because, you know, I've got certain issues. Yeah. Healing in Jesus' name. Divine provisions are available for those who are willing to obey the commands of the Lord. Well, I got to get deep into this real quickly. When we're walking with the Lord, we do not get to decide where our provisions come from. Is that okay? Practically speaking, Elijah had to transfer his trust in provisions from ravens to a provision from a widow. Because the Lord says, now, well, the experiment's over. I've instructed a widow to provide for you. Oh, doesn't that sound handy? And can I just create a little scenario for you? So here comes Elijah, comes around the corner, and here's this lady just kind of walking with her stick. And she's picking up sticks and this type of thing. And the Lord says, there she is. Really? Her? Ever been mystified by God pointing out someone to you that's going to help you and you think they can't help themselves? The woman's kind of broke down herself. Do not despise what God has made provision for you to come through. Some of you are so proud and so arrogant, you will miss what God has for you because, well, never mind. I'll let it go. There's grace involved in that. Well, we do not get to select the source or the means or this type of thing, but grace is given often requires that we humble ourselves. Amen. To admit need or to admit that we can't pull it together by ourselves is sometimes really tough. And I know that God is a supplier of, we quit close. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in the way I want it done. And sometimes we want to pick the things that will happen. Well, I want to take you to another aspect of giving. Asking is as important as giving. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Leave that up for a moment. First of all, some of us are not good at asking. Do you know what asking means or proves? Is that you're in need. And we don't like to be needy. Come on, say amen. All right, I'm going to do something right now. I want somebody to give me $20. Come right up and give me $20. Give me 20, rush up here. Give me $20. Who's going to be first? Oh, I'm going to get $40. Go, ooh, I may get $60. Praise Jesus. I ain't going to turn this stuff down. Yes, Lord. She gave me $25. Okay. Oh, there we go. There you go. Now, here's my illustration right there. Honey, don't. I ain't going to turn you down, baby. Now, here's what's interesting about this. I just asked you for $20. I didn't tell you I needed $20. Is that true? I said, give me $20. And you folks then rushed on up here. But I want to tell you what's going to happen with that money. I was hoping that, and don't knock me down trying to give me $20 later on, because you missed. That money, whatever money there is there, and I'm going to put some more money with it, I'm going to send it to someone in Paradise, California. No, don't be applauding me. I'm not that good. Someone who needs that money that we had in our pockets. But you know what I love about it? You folks were willing to give it up not knowing where it's going. Amen. There's something about it when a person has a heart to give, they don't have to know where it's going. I said, give it to me. Now, maybe you had confidence in me. But, you know, I'm kind of broke down, but I don't think I need $20 yet. I borrowed from my wife. Her account's ready. I just click on hers. And, hey, baby, you're a little short today. But this money right here is going to go to some people you have never met in your life. I'm going to do a little bit of research, and very simple research. And I don't know anybody in Paradise, California. But it'll probably take me a little time on the phone. I'll call a pastor there or something like this. But I'm going to ask him, I said, but I want you to promise me this. I want you to find someone who really needs this money, that FEMA hasn't come for them. They're probably at their last point, and I want you to give them this money. You people that gave me this money, I tell you what, you know what's going to happen to you? God's going to bless you. You know why? Because there was a spirit in you that trusted to give to me, but giving does not stop with you. You have got to become a channel and not a reservoir. Some of y'all are reservoir. You're collecting all, everything. Everything goes in, nothing goes out. But God's going to do some other things with this. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. We're going to deal with this in a little bit. But here's the deal. But here's the interesting thing about this whole story. There's more to the fact of just giving. It's about who gets priority in that particular giving. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In loving God, God is first. Repeat after me. God is first in everything I do, in everything I say. Now, you made that confession. Hopefully, by the end of this service, that'll be true. The priority of this particular message centers around something that it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because here's if I just rehearse a story with you. Here you have Elijah, a powerful prophet of God, who's been on the dole of ravens for a while. And God says, I want to put you under the auspices of someone different. I'm going to send you a widow. And I'll put you in a position where you have to confront this widow and see what her life is made out of and challenge her as to whether or not she's going to put the prophet of God first or her own life first. Now, let's take this apart a little bit. Well, we must be willing to put God first in everything to experience the true grace of giving. Elijah asked a woman for the most precious thing that she had. Now remember, the brook has dried up. So he walks into her house, she's over there gathering little sticks, and he says, hey, could you give me a cup of water? You might as well ask her for $1 million. There's hardly any water around there. And so sometimes it feels like God asks for the very thing that we feel we have the least of. He says, I want that as an offering to me. I want to let you know why I believe we struggle, and I say we, myself being included, when we can't put God first, because we look beyond that situation and we don't believe that God has provisions beyond that particular place. We think it kind of lives and dies at this particular point. We don't see beyond today. So love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, and your mind, your strength. That's every day. That's every day. Well, peeling it back a little bit further, here's what you find out. It follows up with a greater request that seemed even more unreasonable. And by the way, not only do I need some water, but I'm kind of hungry. Could I have a sandwich or a piece of bread? And he said, hold on, bro. Maybe he didn't say bro, say pro, prophet. Okay. Hold on, pro. I was about to take these two sticks. I got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. I'm going to stir it up. I'm going to make a cake, spread it around the boys, and we're going to sit down and die. Doesn't that sound exciting? And you're going to ask me for some bread. He says, oh, cool. If that's what you're going to do, but make me a cake first. Oh, doesn't that sound polite? It's like, say, go ahead and die, but let me have something so I can live. What? I need to put something indelibly into our spirit. Many times, giving is not convenient. Can I get an amen? Amen. Matter of fact, the best giving you'll ever give is when it's not convenient or you're not really feeling it. The rest of you are hypocrites. They didn't say, oh, yeah. Because you haven't given until it's registered into you that there's something that you're letting go of. Amen. Now, every spring of the year, many of you dispose of things. They call it spring cleaning. And in that this disposition of things, it's what you when you have to admit, I didn't need it anyway. It's in the way, let me give it, you aren't really giving it, you are basically, you are cleansing.